Alternative energy, new energy sources. When did you start thinking about this?
Well, I've actually thought about it a long time. In fact, that's why I was doing nuclear energy and fusion even before I became a space engineer. But in fact, the solution for our immediate problem is not nuclear energy, although I'm all for it. It just takes a long time to get plants online. If we want to deal with the situation we're in now, we're going to have to use some simpler approaches.
Is it readily available to us? I mean, you know, you look at these record profits of these oil companies, Robert. You know, and I said to myself, you know, they're not going to come up with alternative energy. We're not going to get help from them. They're going to milk the old tap dry for as long as they can. They just don't care about us. So how do we as a nation, how do we as people start to get, you know, businesses and corporations interested in doing this, and then the automobile companies, because that's really what's going to help push this, to say, folks, we're going to do this. GM, Ford, taking it on the chin right now. As a matter of fact, all the Asian cars are outselling American cars. I never thought that would happen in our time. What do we do about all this?
All right. Actually, the technology to solve this problem is in our hands. And people may have heard a bit about it because General Motors has been using it as part of their advertising. But actually, they're only selling 2% of their cars that use this technology. And that is the flex fuel car. A flex fuel car is a car that can run on either alcohol or gasoline or any combination of the two. Okay, and there are about 24 models of different cars being produced in Detroit, as well as a number of foreign cars that are actually currently available as flex fuel. The flex fuel cars, unlike hybrids, they don't cost a lot more than regular cars. They only cost about $100 more than the same car that is in the non-flex fuel version. But so there's really no price differential to speak of. But only 2% of the cars being sold in the U.S. are flex-fueled because there's really no upside to having one because the high alcohol fuels that they could take advantage of are not, I mean, there's hardly any, E85 is a blend that is 85% ethanol, 15% gasoline.
Ethanol from corn, right?
Well, it can come from corn. That's what most U.S. ethanol is made from. In Brazil, they make it from sugar. You could make it from potatoes if you like. That's what vodka is made from. I mean, that's ethanol. You can make it from lots of things. But the you don't find many E85 pumps around because if you own a 7-Eleven and you got three pumps, you're not going to set one up to sell to only 2% of the cars.
Good point.
Okay, so what we basically need, and this would essentially solve the problem, is if Congress was to simply pass a law mandating that, say, starting in the 2009 model year, all new cars sold in the U.S. need to be flex-fueled. That is, they got to have headlights, they got to have brakes, and they got to be flex-fueled. What that would do right there is that would create a huge market in the United States for alcohol fuels. And I'd like the cars, the standard to be that they can run on either ethanol, methanol, or gasoline, and there's nothing in the technology that would stop that. Because we can make methanol not only from a larger variety of plant products besides corn and other high-value crops, but also from coal and natural gas, and we've got the largest coal supplies in the world. We've got enough coal in the United States to run all the cars in this country on coal-based methanol for 500 years.
Well, and you know what? They can do that. I mean, they mandated by law that television stations convert to high definition years ago. It's starting now, and, you know, they forced them to do that. It was a major capital investment, but they did that. The consumer eventually is going to get a better quality picture at home, and everybody long-term will be happy about this. You're absolutely right, Robert. If Congress decided to have any guts, they'd say, you know what, we're going to do this, and mandating is the only way it's going to be done.
Right. And if you did mandate it, okay, what would happen is within 3 years of enactment, okay, you'd have 50 million cars on the road in the U.S. that could run on alcohol fuels, and then you'd see E85 and M50 be 50% methanol. You'd see pumps like that going up everywhere, okay? And in fact, would there be such a large market in this country for ethanol that the American farmers, they could produce as much as they like, they still wouldn't produce enough to meet the demand that we would create, and so we could actually drop the tariff against Brazilian ethanol. Brazil is currently producing ethanol at $1 a gallon. That stuff could come in, and all these countries in the Caribbean and Latin America that are totally broke because they got nothing to sell, they could sell sugarcane ethanol. We could buy it. Okay, instead of our money going to Saudi Arabia for them to come back and used to fund terrorism or used to take over companies in the United States, like they just bought 5% of AOL Time Warner, okay, so they can influence domestic opinion here. Instead of that, okay, we'd have our money would be going to American farmers, American miners, and to some extent to farmers south of the border, which would relieve the immigration problem somewhat, but in the most humane way possible by simply creating economic opportunity down there, and we'd be selling them tractors that we make here.
What would it cost retail per gallon?
Well, right now, for instance, methanol, which is not subsidized, is selling for 90 cents a gallon. Okay. Now, the methanol doesn't have quite the same kick per gallon as gasoline, so you'd have to pay. You'd have to get about a gallon and a half of methanol. So you're talking. So that. So 90 cents a gallon methanol is like getting gasoline at $1.40 a gallon. Okay, but that's still half the price of gasoline.
Sure, and that would include your taxes and everything else?
Well, if you put taxes on it, then it would raise it some more, but it'd still be cheaper than gasoline. Okay, it'd still be under $2 a gallon. The idea here is that we can actually produce methanol in the United States for less than the market cost of gasoline, and that includes the fact that you have to have more methanol to equal a certain amount of gasoline. It's still cheaper. We're doing it right now without a subsidy. Okay.
So the oil companies, though, once they realize that government's going to start mandating this, they're going to drop the price of gasoline down to $1.80.
Well, they might, but at that point, you see, they would no longer be in a situation where they can choose whatever price they want to sell.
Good point.
Okay, and you see, to the consumer with the flex fuel car, see, there's no downside here, because if it should happen that gasoline is cheaper than the alcohol, you could just buy gasoline, because the flex fuel car can actually run on gasoline. And see, that's what makes this technology the winner.